Thank you, Rob. Such a pleasure to be here. I don't get here very often. I was here for the four lectures by Dr. Lovelace, and I took notes. And I'm going to test you in a minute to have a question in a minute to see if you were listening when Dr. Lovelace was here. You had a master teacher, right? And a teacher informs, but you had a master preacher, and a preacher transforms. And those lectures really affected me, and I hope that's true of you. So I can't compete. Is that a good confession right now? So we're going to do something entirely different than his brilliance. I do work for the CNBC, our convention. I work in the area of church strengthening. So that's a big umbrella, big hat I wear of small groups and discipling and leadership and church conflict and pastor search and men's group and worship. And my job description says, and other things that Jerry will ask you to do. So I do lots of that. I love my job. I've been in it 20 years. You know, if you can be my age and love to get up in the morning to do what you're doing, I love to do that. But I love something better than that, another ministry. I work as a volunteer pastor at Roots. It's the English congregation of a Chinese church in Calgary. Last Sunday we had 61 at Roots. 51, pardon me. And the week before, we had 61. You know, if I was just a consultant, I would know the answer to that, like how to fix this. But I'm a pastor, and I have no clue. Like, why do we have up and down attendance? But I've been there for 14 years. Almost everyone in the room became a Christian there. Can you imagine the privilege of that? One of the benefits of that is we have no people from other churches that say, we used to do it this way. Because they don't know what church is except what we do at Roots. And so I have the privilege not only of watching them come to Christ, find God, but also follow Jesus. And I wake up in the morning as well saying, God, how do I help Natalie, who became a Christian last week, 2 weeks ago? And how do I help Ryan? And how, you know, all of these people on my mind. I could not be in a better space. So I'm really glad to be here and glad to talk to you about Devo. Put the screen up there. You may not know what that means, and I'll translate it for you in a minute. But this came from our lecture 2 weeks ago. I assume many of you are here for Dr. Lovelace. Lovelace. Yeah, both of them are bad, but anyway, let's get it right. So, and he got to in the session one. He got to this verse. And he said, you need to be in the Word, and he had two S words to describe what you need to be. Do you remember them? Saturate and submit. Yeah, submissive and saturated in the Word. So this came from, this is where he camped down on that. This book of the law shall not depart from you, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and be careful to do all that is according to what's written in it, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. New American Standard, I memorized it when I was 21 years old. It's still in there. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But how do you get in the Word and get the Word in you? That's what we want to look at. So we're going to learn this verse this morning, just out of respect for professor that Dr. Lawless, and because we ought to learn the Word. So do all of you have a card? Christian, did he give? If you don't have one, put your hand up. Christian's got them. Make sure that everybody gets one. And let's just review this, because it's worth getting into our hearts. I don't know what version you use. Actually, like, there's 27, right? So this is New International NIV, and let's go with that, and it'll really mess me up, because I'm in New American Standard, but it doesn't matter. So let's say together this verse. You ready? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. You got to say that, right? Say it again. Joshua 1:8, because you have to know where the handle is, right? Actually, when I memorized verses, my trainer said, say Joshua 1:8 at the front, Joshua 1:8 at the bottom, because we forget that, and we say, where is that in the Bible? Well, you can know this way. So let's do it again. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. Now find somebody and practice. Get two people, just practice. Use your cards and practice. We want to get it into your mind. Yeah, you gotta get together, talk. Okay, you ready to review? Here we go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. Have you got it? Let's do it again. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. One more time. Here we go. Dr. Garland would be so impressed if I could quote that. He was my Hebrew prof, but I can't. But we're just reminding ourselves. Actually, in Roots, we do this twice a month in worship, just like this. Because we figure if Jesus memorized scripture, he certainly did, then maybe we ought to also. Most churches, in my observation, don't do this at all. Maybe we say we ought to, but we don't. So if you're a pastor or a proto-pastor or something, I've just given you a model of what you can do. And we do it twice a month, second and fourth Sunday of the month, and we just have fun. But we, you know, we're really serious because we want people to be in the Word and want the Word to be in them. So here's Chuck Swindoll. Do you know him? Famous pastor. I think he was a seminary professor or president for a while. Dallas Theological? Yeah, anyway, very fine Christian statesman. And he says, what does he recommend most in Christian life? Memorizing scripture. I'm reminding us, this isn't my sermon, by the way, but I'm reminding us of something. This is really important, and we don't see it as important in our churches. By the way, if you want my notes, I'll just send you the PowerPoint. So I have a number of quotes on here. And he says, because it helps you in every way, witnessing, praying, meditating, thinking through problems. Here's Dallas Willard, who says something similar. He doesn't say it's a good suggestion. What does he say? Absolutely fundamental. Because he said it gets the Word in your mind, and that's what needs to change. Renew your mind, as Paul said in Romans 12, right? The renewing of your mind, a continual process of metamorphosis. And so somehow, let's get people memorizing. I had trainers. From 19 till about 22, and it finally took, and I started memorizing. From 19 to 30, I really poured my life. I poured the scriptures into me through memorizing. Maybe that's why I'm here today. It may be. It's so healthy in every way. So I encourage you to memorize, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about Devo this morning, which is short for devotional, which is short or another term for quiet time or meeting with God in the morning. So let's talk about that. And I want to stop by 25 to 10, somewhere in there, because you have an assignment. Because if the preacher is boring, we can at least get into the Word and get something good out of it. So here's what we show at Roots every Sunday. This is the stages diagram. We have an app for it. We have a Saban IMB missionary has a website for it. Hundreds of articles, 300 articles to help you practically disciple people. And we always look at this every week. We put it up on screen, and we talk about something, the intersection of the two middle rings. We call them Audi rings, everybody. I've done this in China, done it in Iraq, I've done it in Turkey, I've done it in Greece. Everybody knows Audi rings, right? So in the intersection there is baptism, because baptism is the first step of obedience into a lifetime of obedience. So that's what disciple is. So we comment on it, and we say, we do this pretty well together. These are the three areas that we want to get disciplines in, get together. And we're pretty good at worship and pretty good at small groups or Sunday school or something like that. We're not very good at this one. Actually, our churches are filled with people who are spectators and don't know how to get into ministry. Wendy is in our church. She sometimes comes to Roots. Her daughter's in our church in Roots. And in November, while I was visiting her husband in the hospital, Wendy said to me, I want to do something for God. She's in her 40s. She's really desperate because she figures she's just coasting. So I said, Wendy, if you want to, I'll help you. And so I've watched Wendy. We do a Devo. I send her a set of verses every week, and we write prayers to one another based on those verses. Because she wants to, and she, in an act of faith, she asked her manager, can I go with Paul to go with Roots to Athens for the Remember the Poor project? She's indispensable in her job as an accountant. And she said, it won't happen. I said, well, let's just pray. And what could we see? And he said, well, this is a great thing to do for our company. And so she went, and she's acting by faith, and she's starting to stretch, and she started a small group in her home. She's starting to do the get active because she's doing this, get alone. Most of our Christians don't know how to do get alone. Take time with God. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because you want to be able to help a Wendy. Say, I'll help you. And before we talk about ministry, get active. Let's get alone with God, and let's figure out how to do that. Do you know George Mueller? Do we have that? Yeah. George Mueller was in the 19th century, an English leader, a Christian leader. He was an orphanage director. Actually, that's an understatement. George Mueller was responsible for the care of 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. And he ran schools related to orphanages and started 117 schools. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Rob? One school is pretty tough. 117. So at least we can say he's a man of respect that we ought to respect. And he said, my first, greatest, primary business to which I ought to attend every day, my first, is to have my soul happy in Jesus. Most people don't know how to do that in our churches. I just reduce it down to this phrase, and I call it get happy in Jesus. When I preach like this, I'm going to do a funeral on Saturday. I have a network of people I send prayer requests to, about 100 people. And Jinghua is in China, Beijing, China. I met her there. She's an international lawyer. So I wrote and said, pray, this is what I'm going to do. And she wrote back and said, I would love to know how to get happy in Jesus. Isn't that interesting? I think all around us, people would say that. And don't know how, and puzzled by that. I got this advice from a mentor. I got this advice from a mentor when I was young. And it may have been Rob, your dad, or your uncle, Henry, who was my pastor. You be concerned with the depth of your relationship with God, and let God be concerned with the breadth of your ministry. Isn't that a great statement? That's why you're here, if you're a student. And get down deep with the Lord. And build that intimacy with Christ. Have an interactive relationship with with God. And let God worry about how far he's going to take you. You know, I've been to Turkey and Iraq and Greece with the Remember the Poor projects. I had no idea, like, where is Antakya, Turkey? That's Antioch in the Bible. I had no idea. Where's Erbil, Iraq? I had no idea. That's where God's put me because I think I did this sort of thing when I was young and try to do it now. We must help people like this. I do quote of the day and send it to hundreds of people. And this was one of the quotes. I had a comment under it. Lou Leventhal responded. Lou used to be the funding director here, the recruiter. Anyway, Lou was here for a while. He's now Saskatoon as a pastor. Lou wrote back and said, this was the same advice I got when I was young and what I tried to practice. And lose where he is because he did this. Get happy in Jesus. I want to show you my world before we do a practice here. I talked about this Sunday morning in a discipling class before Roots. And Ryan said this, Paul, can you help me with getting happy in Jesus in the morning? He's a university student. So I said, Ryan, get somebody else because I want you to partner together. And once you get a partner, I'll help you because I know how to do this. I know how to do this. Here's a young dad. Sorry I have to be rude to look back. I want to make sure you see it. Here's a young dad, Norman. Norman, I talked with him after Roots. He and Jane have a daughter that's 1 year old. And Norman said this to me. After I got baptized, I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything. That's pretty typical of people in our churches, right? But Shasha is a co-leader at Roots, and Shasha has gotten with the two of them and said, well, let's read scripture, and I'll help you. So he told me, he continued, and he said, we listen to the Bible, because I don't read very well. So at night, Gina and I listened to 4 chapters a night. And he said, we're through Genesis, and we did John. And he said, now we're in Matthew. He said, Matthew's really different from John. Isn't it wonderful that he's in the Word and the Word's getting in him? However you work it. I don't listen to audio scripture, but I really like that story. Here's a young woman. She studied in Harvard. Now she's in California working. And she said to me in a text, I understand that Jesus forgives my sin, but how does he give me victory over sin? Do you know how detergent works when you wash your clothes? I don't either, right? I fill it up with water, the washer, and I put the clothes in, and then I measure out the liquid detergent. But I always put more because you want to make sure. And it doesn't cost that much. And so I put it in, and I close the lid, and it threshes around for 30 minutes, and it comes out and dry it, and they're clean. But how does it do that? My best guess is magnetism. Like, the detergent is the positive and the dirt's the negative. I really don't know how to do it, but it does it, right? How does the Word clean you up? The Bible says you're washed with the Word. Jesus said to the disciples, John 13, now you are clean because what? Of the Word I have spoken to you. I'm gonna help Megan, but one of the things I'm going to say to her is, Megan, I want you to get into the Word. Let's get the detergent in you and the dirt gets out. How important to get that in. Get that in their lives. Here's another one. Daniel interrupted me. I was teaching Sunday morning, teaching something different. He interrupted me with this phrase, and I just don't know how to pray for my kids. See the needs in our church? They don't know, and they need trainers, and they're looking to you and me as leaders for trainers. I really like this one. This is Susan, and I send discipling articles to dozens of people every week, one a week. If I can't be with them, then I can at least send them something. And I was sending to Susan all summer. She's in fourth year university. And in early September, I said, Susan, do you want it? You know, go back to school. She said, would you help me do Devo? So we started. I said, I'd be glad to help you. We started. We're almost finished Philippians. By the way, if you want to do this with somebody, I have 4 weeks of day by day, 5 days a week, and you do your own thing on the weekends. If you want to do it, I'll just send it to you, and you can change it or whatever you want. But we've worked through worked through Philippians, and I've said to her on Sunday, what are we going to do next? So she'll tell me. Here's Dallas Willard. Why Devo? Because we need, he's our lover. We need to get close to him and love him and love him back because of his loveliness. Let me cover some ideas and then we're going to have an assignment for you. Why should you get happy with Jesus? These are the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he said, you guys are, actually they memorized the scriptures. They say if you could get 2 or 3 of the Pharisees together, they could reproduce the Old Testament by memory. And Jesus says, they speak of me. I heard a sermon by a pastor, a year or more ago, and I was a little distressed because there's no gospel in it and there's no Jesus in it. And I thought, you know, if you're a gospel preacher, there ought to be both, but at least one. Anyway, I met with him for coffee, and I gently said, there ought to be gospel, but my recommendation would be, wherever you start, you should end up with Jesus. Well, he's polite and said, oh, okay, but he didn't believe me. And I know that because he was in Dr. Watson and Dr. Peacock's preaching class last year, and he, one of my friends was there, Caesar was there. And anyway, he raised his hand and said, is it right that we should end our sermons with Jesus wherever we start and expecting and hoping the answer is what? No. So you have wise professors. Did you, Rob, you have wise professors. So one of them, I don't know which, one of them said, well, since the Bible is all about Jesus, can you finish that sentence? They point to me. Why get happy in Jesus? Because lovers love to get together. This is a no-brainer, right? You don't have to say, you guys should spend more time alone. They want to get alone, and they get happy. Maybe Devo, or whatever you want to call it, that habit, demonstrates how much I love Jesus. Maybe it does. Help people get alone. Help people get together with Jesus and help them get happy. Why mourning? I used to say do it anytime it fits you. You know, I will acquiesce to that, but I think you ought to use mourning. Here's why. First of all, I had a trainer who pushed this in deep into my psyche when I was 21. And he said, Jesus did it, had a night of ministry, healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then the whole village came and he healed everybody, maybe after midnight. You remember he said, power goes out of me when I'm touched, you know, for healing. And early the next morning, while it's still dark, Jesus went to a lonely place and was praying. Actually, this one verse made me decide, I'm going to do it in the morning. And I'm going to do this because my Lord did it. Why morning? Dietrich Bonhoeffer. What he's saying is, every morning is resurrection morning. Wouldn't that be a great way to think? Every morning is resurrection morning. Here's Susan's testimonial. I wanted to bring her here. And what she wrote, almost every Christian could write. It's a task. I have to read the Bible and pray in the morning. And I don't do it every day, so I feel really guilty about it. So she said, but now thinking of it as getting happy in Jesus, I look forward to it every day. Fascinating. She's in her fourth week. And then this one. She runs on the treadmill and listens to instrumental music, and she says, I'm surrounded by the Holy Spirit. What that teaches me is you can customize this. You ought to, actually, to fit you. I don't do either of those things, but she's trying to get this in her system. It takes 21 days to start a habit and 66 days to really lock it in. The numbers are arbitrary, but you get the idea, right? So who should do devotional? Evo. This is written to Laodicean Church. In Colossians 4, Paul calls the pastor by name, say to Archippus, see to the work God has called you to do it. How would you like to read in the Bible just one verse? And it's a statement like that. Like, get with it. Like, get off your rear and start pastoring like you're supposed to. And so the Laodicean Church had problems, right? And Jesus said, you're lukewarm, you're tepid. So he says, I'll take anybody. That's a really good pattern for us. Look for one person to help and do Devo with. Our task, get happy with Jesus every morning, because other people around you need to be trained. They really need to. They don't know how to do that. So are you ready? I'm going to give you 10 minutes. 9 minutes, 59 seconds, right? 5 minutes to hear God through the Word. 5 minutes to talk to God what you've learned. We're going to pass these out. Let's get them out, Christian. Yep, thanks. And I think we have enough time. I'm only going to give you 10 minutes. I'm going to give you a 5-minute break. You'll see when that is. And some of you people are going to say, this is so kindergarten. And I realize that. But it won't be kindergarten for people you train. And there's some things there where it says facts and STP. You can ignore that. But it's just ways you can help people pray if you want. But I've given you scripture, 1 John 1, 5 to 10. And you just say what the Word said, what the Spirit said to me. And then on the other side, write a prayer to God. And then we're done. Are you ready? Everybody got a copy? Okay, let's do it. Now write a prayer based on what you read. Turn over, write a prayer. Maybe of thanks. Maybe of confession, maybe of intercession for someone. Take time to write back to God, listen to God through the Word, and respond to God through prayer. Take 5 minutes for that. 10 minutes. Silence, solitude, interaction with the one who loves you, Lord Jesus. Listen to him through the Word. Respond to him in prayer. Why write your prayers? You don't have to, but if you're training someone, you can take a photo of it and send it to them, and you train them in how to pray as well. So I think that's really healthy. Here's George Mueller. George Mueller had there's a story about him in one of the orphanages. He was running. They had no food. And it was morning, and they had no food. Children were at the breakfast table. They had no food. So George Mueller said, "Let's pray." And they prayed, and as they prayed, they heard a crash outside, and a cart carrying bakery supplies had crashed. A wheel had broken off or something, and the supplies, the food fell on the ground. It'd be sort of like what's in there, but on the cart. And it was of use to no one, so they knocked on the door and said, could the orphanage use bread, use our supplies? What made a man of God and a man of faith? He got happy in Jesus every morning. If you learn this and you learn to train others, you will bless many, many lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your example. We want to model you. And we want to say to others, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Help us with this, Lord. In your name, amen.